pleasure to be getting Masech to Sukkah again. We'll come back on Shabbos at Shal Shudis and make the Siyum on Rosh Hashanah. So Masech to Sukkah, just by way of a little bit of introduction, begins with the construction of the Sukkah, not with the actual mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah, Basukos Teshu Shiva Samim, Kol HaEzrach B'Yisrael Yeshu B'Sukkos, but actually with what my Rebbe likes to call the Chafetz Shal Sukkah. And it's a really interesting question to think about is what is the halachic significance of building a sukkah? So we know at the extremes there's a problem with a sukkah being constructed by somebody who's not Jewish, a sukkah's ganbach, or something we'll talk about. But like, do we ascribe any significance? Maybe it's just a hechsher mitzvah, maybe it's a little bit more than that, to building a sukkah. So there's some interesting evidence both in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi on this topic, which may indeed suggest the affiliation with the Birkas Hazman even, which may suggest that there's some actual status to building the sukkah, even though we believe that the mitzvah is really accomplished on Sukkot itself by sitting in the sukkah, according to the Balei HaTosos, largely by eating in the sukkah. It's a discussion between Tosos and the Rambam, which we'll get to. Here, it's very thought-provoking to consider this issue is, you know, why is it that building a sukkah is afforded, you know, more status, let's say, than other things which are just prerequisites to fulfilling a mitzvah, what we might say, you know, a regular din of a hechsher. So I'll try to emphasize this point as we go along in the Mishnayos, but there's some pretty strong evidence here that it has to do with the relationship between constructing the sukkah and the actual mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah itself. That is to say, when we think about building a house as some kind of a hechsher mitzvah to put up a mezuzah. It's a house, and you're going to live in it, chovas hadar, so you have to put up a mezuzah. But when it comes to the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, because of what we'll begin talking about tonight, the principles of diras keva and diras arai, the very construction of the sukkah, which is such an atypical construction, in a very material way, relates to the eventual fulfillment of the mitzvah, which is the way that I like to relate to it. So one could even imagine to the point where the Birkas Hazman could even be displaced onto the construction of the sukkah because the very construction itself anticipates the fulfillment of the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. So that's where the masachta begins. It's very meduyak that we don't begin with the actual mitzvah, but we begin with the preparation, especially if what we're saying, the basic mahalich, is correct. So Mishnah Aleph tells us, Sukkah shigvo alamala me'ashimam apsula Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Yehuda had many disagreements with the Chachamim on the Cheftishal Sukkah, as we'll see. So the first one, and again, I don't think it's like arbitrary that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and his organization of the Mishnayos of Sukkah, he begins with the Cheftishal Sukkah and he begins with the Halach of Esrimama, because we know that the principle is Lamala me'ashimama, that's already a Diras Keva. So that's not just like a halacha, I would even call it a signature halacha. It's a way of getting at the heart of what sukkah really is, a diras keva that we're supposed to leave, it's now an expression, our comfort zone. We're supposed to leave our comfort zone so that we can experience a certain sense of hashras hashchina and many different themes that we'll have the opportunity to discuss. So she'en gavoa asara tvachim, that is too small to be any kind of a dira. V'she'en la shalosh defanos, here that's based on the unusual spelling of Sukkos in the Chumash as being chaser. The Levush writes that he thinks it's a mitzvah mina mehadrin to have four complete walls, but be that as it may, we know you could even have two in change, right? That you have two walls right next to each other, and then the third wall could just be, you know, basically, as long as you put it lavud, so within three tefachim, it could be a tefach, and you make a tzuras ha-pesach on top, so it could be, like I say, two walls in change, and it really bespeaks this idea of diras arai, some kind of a very unstable dwelling place. Nobody would imagine moving into that as a house. It doesn't look like a full tent. So we know that if the sun, obviously we're talking about on the bottom of the sukkah, the top of the sukkah, there's obviously going to be more shade. If there's more sun than shade, that's going to be problematic. It's not really considered to be under the schach psula. Sukkah yeshana beishamay posin veisol machshirin veizu sukkah yeshana. What's the definition? Kol she'asa kodem l'chag shloshim yom, aval imasa l'shem chag, afilu mitzchilas hashana k'shera. So, the question as to what the position of Beis Hillel is Beis Hillel saying this l'chadchila, or just b'di'evet, but Beis Shammai is really putting, no pun intended here, a stake in the ground. And Beis Shammai is saying that we really require the idea that the sukkah should be constructed l'shem mitzvahs sukkah. So again, that's another piece of evidence. We don't paskin like Beis Shammai, but again, you're really getting the sense, like the construction is deeply related to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So Beis Shammai says, how could you possibly have a sukkah that wasn't constructed the Shem Mitzvah sukkah? And this is one of my favorite halachos in the entire Masechta. This comes up at the very beginning, that anything which is made within 30 days is considered de facto the Shem Mitzvah sukkah. Anybody want to guess why? Like, I don't know, maybe the guy was building it within 30 days and, you know, he wasn't at all contemplating, you know, the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. What's the significance to that time period? So really, like, yeah, Effie. Ding, ding, ding. Great to have you back. Okay, so nice. So there's a halacha, the Gemara Pesachim and Da'afav, Shloshim Yom Kodim Achag, Sholdim Adarshim Hilchos Achag. So Rashi quotes that here. You know, it's really interesting. It's the power of Talmud Torah is that the sort of being in the air. Not all the Rishonim, by the way, assume that that applies necessarily to Sukkot the same way that it does to Pesach, which is more halachos, but very beautiful idea that because everybody's talking about it and they're asking questions, so how could it be that somebody would build a sukkah and it wouldn't be L'shem Mitzvah sukkah? So it's really the power of Talmud Torah to create a new halachic reality in the tzibur. That's a very beautiful idea. Okay, so the second Mishnah says, Hosa sukkaso tachas ha'ilan kilo asa b'so chabayis, which again is a very strong language. If it were just up to me, good thing that it wasn't, I would have said, okay, so you can't build a sukkah underneath a tree because we say that there has to be under schach and there can't be multiple layers here. But such strong language, kilu asa b'so chabayis, like, you know, you're destroying the whole idea of diras arai. It's like you're building it within the diras keva itself. A very, very strong formulation. But again, we're getting at this idea that a person has to really have this sense of vulnerability in the diras arai. So if there are multiple levels of ceiling or protection, so that's going to be a problem. Sukkah gabe sukkah, hal yonik shera v'tachtona psula. The Chachamim will tell us that the top sukkah is acceptable because effectively we're ignoring the one beneath it. But the bottom sukkah, which is constructed underneath the top one, is going to be invalid. We'll talk about what the Gemara defines the machlokas to be in a second. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imein diyurin b'alyona tachtona k'sheira. So the Gemara says, chuli amalo pligi, they're really not discussing any case at all where the roof of the, we'd say intermediate here, the roof of the bottom one, isn't capable of holding anything because that's kamandalei sadami. That's what we assume that doesn't exist at all. So even the chachamim would agree that that's fundamentally acceptable. We're also not talking about a situation opposite direction, that if it's a really strong roof, then there's no way that Rabbi Yehuda could agree. The question is, well, let's say it's a little bit rickety, but it could hold something. So that's a situation where Rabbi Yehuda wants to, be machshir, says atachtona k'sheira, because it's al yedei adchak, and the chachamim are going to be machmir. So again, we pass them like the chachamim in this discussion, and we understand that Rabbi Yehuda seems to have been given a much wider berth. It's l'shitaso. He said the malam yasrimamo is acceptable, and even if it's a sukkah, al gabi sukkah, he's much more flexible about these principles. We take a more machmir stand in all directions. Very fascinating. You know, you so often line up. Are the Chachamim taking the more Mekel position, the more Machmir position? So you see here, repeatedly, the Chachamim are taking the more Machmir position vis-a-vis Rabbi Yehuda. It says it really has to be a Diras Keva, which is kind of an ironic thing. And this will conclude that, that when it comes to Sukkah, like the more quality that it has, the more puzzle it is, right? So the whole idea is to really do a good job making it into a Diras Arai, which means that you can't do too good a job in terms of securing, you know, making too imposing or impressive a structure, because that will undercut the very, you know, essence of what it means, teshuke and taduru, of removing ourselves from our year-round bias and putting ourselves much more biyad Hashem, whether it's sukkos mamish or anani kavod, but to re-experience that sense of vulnerability that Klal Yisrael experienced in the Midbar.